It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, alongside former Packer Brian Bulaga. Here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The best 60 minutes of your day, the Brian Bulaga Homer Hour. I don't know how to say it. Packers are nuts. Packers are nuts. Unless they just don't believe in the veteran kicker at all. You got a good team. They believe they're one of the best teams. And you're going to put it on a rookie kicker who... Last time I checked, I don't remember any stories like this was the great college kicker. Now, Mason Crosby, he had a 60-yard field goal in college. He was amazing in college, and he kicked in Colorado, which can be crazy because of the different of the out, all that kind of stuff. So, it could all work out. I don't know how you can defend it if you think the team is good. Other than if he doesn't do it, you think you have some other alternative. But I will defer to the host of the show, Brian Bulaga. But I wanted to make sure that he knew my position. Good evening, Brian.
Good evening. Yeah, no, I got your position loud and clear.
Explain me why you would do it.
I think my only guess is that they see the value in having the rookie go, and you can't say you trust him more right now because he hasn't done it. So you can't say we trust in him more. He hasn't even kicked in training camp yet, which I find interesting that the move was made so early. They didn't even get to training camp to have this kicking competition and things like that. They must see the move from a cap standpoint and from how much they like this kid. And that's all. That's the only thing I can kind of think, because I don't know the other reasons besides money. Obviously, money is always a reason. And then you like what you saw. Maybe he did something during rookie minicamp, or he's been doing things while they've been doing OTAs, and he's been kicking, and they really like what they see, and things like that. I don't know. I don't have a great answer for that. But that's about as good as a guess right now. Like I really don't know. Like, obviously McManus is a good kicker. He's a proven kicker. No, he did not have a good finish to it. And honestly, we talked about this last year while he was injured, and then he came back. And I told you, I don't think he's ready to come back. I think whatever quad injury he has, for kickers, like, you need to let that heal 110%. Like, you got to let him, maybe give him an extra week or two than what you initially thought to let that heal. And he came back early, and you kind of saw signs that it just wasn't right. And unfortunately, in some of these games, you paid for it. And that's, you know, that's the way it goes in this league. And your last performance, and I've said this, like, and obviously – players can't do anything about it besides perform better, but your last performance of the season always is the one that sticks out, whether it's a win or a loss with the team. Your individual performance always sticks out, whether it was good or bad. That's the last thing the GM, the coaches, your teammates, and the fans remember you by. Like, you could have had a great season, and then playoff game or whatever it is, you perform poorly. That's what people remember. And it's unfortunate, but that's kind of the case of what happened with McManus. And then the minute they traded up for a kicker, the writing was there that this could happen. So obviously he's done something in the building since he's been there during the early part of this offseason program that they really like. And that's how they made this move.
Or they don't like McManus. I thought it was a great way. You get the young kicker. And you're basically saying to McManus, we don't care what you've done. Now, game on, buddy. Let's see what you do. Granted, they had just given him $1 million. And this is the part that I wanted you to discuss. So you not only have a rookie kicker, I don't believe they have any information on how he's kicked in bad weather. And everybody, and I've listened, talks about how tough it can be to kick at Lambeau Field.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you lived it. I don't know if it's one direction or the other. Maybe you... So you're going to... And there's no way you could learn that early in the year because the weather's not bad till late in the year. You're basically saying, fine, Homer, you're right. We don't care. We're willing to take that gamble. Okay? I wouldn't take that gamble because there's no way you can say you know what he's going to do at Lambeau Field in December and forward because nobody knows. And you can only have to ask kickers. And who wants to take that risk on a team that you believe is as good as they say or act like it is?
I mean,
take it away.
I mean, first of all, yes, it is hard to kick in that stadium.
What's so hard about it? Explain it.
From talking to Mason.
Yeah.
And kind of getting his explanation on things when he was he was great in Lambeau, obviously points holder, record, whatever he has. Before the new addition went up, he said, obviously the way the bowl is, the wind comes in different, like it comes in waves and it does weird things that you don't sense. Like you can't get a read on it, even though you may have all the information, the wind's blowing this way and it's doing that, but when it comes down in through the bowl, it does weird things. It could switch all of a sudden. And he said that's kind of the guessing game of kicking in Lambeau. Until you experience it, you trust it, and you do things, you may overplay a wind or overdo something, and the wind takes the ball to your overplay. You know, you may be trying to hit a little cut, and the wind's blowing left to right, and you get caught out, or you think it's going to be blowing left, and that's the challenge before. Then when they put in the new addition is when Mason spent a lot of time, I remember, in the stadium kicking, because he said that what it was doing was it was showing false wind readings. So like everything would tell you that the wind was blowing this way or that way into you. It was blowing left or right.
So it was harder, according to Mason, even than it had been with the new addition.
Yes.
Once
the new addition got put in and it blocked off that side predominantly, right? Wind, he didn't say this, but it's my only guess, is that the wind is then rebounding off of that side and kind of push, like it's swirling around in the bowl. So it was getting different. If the ball and the wind were doing things different than what the flags on the top of the stadium or even on the goalposts were showing. So that makes it difficult. And you don't understand that unless you're doing that as a veteran type kicker like Mason and we'll even say McManus or whoever it may be, to pick up those reads and trust those reads. And then obviously add in the temperature factor, then it's 20 degrees out or 10 degrees out. And the ball's not flying the way you normally think it should or it would. And you have to play that. You have to drive a ball and you think the wind may be going left and it's not, or you think you're downwind and really the wind's swirling back into you. So like, there's a lot of things that he's studied once they put up that new addition. So, yeah, I mean, the new kicker, he won't know any of that until it actually gets to that time, right? When he starts kicking
in
the stadium.
I defer to you. I just have believed what everybody said, because when Mason would say it, I would be like, come on, it can't be that bad. And clearly it was. Here's somebody who was arguably one of the greatest kickers who dealt with different wind conditions, even in college in Colorado and at Boulder. And then, so you're not going to go, hey, Mason, you're wrong. And so the Packers know that. They know all these things.
Oh, yeah. They know it. they understand it. Again, it just tells me that they have a lot of trust in this kid from the time that they've been around him and they, what they've known about him from college. Like, they have a lot of trust in him.
Right.
And listen, like, you're...
I'd be in the meeting. You have that, and I go, guys, I understand. McManus was horrible. But I've looked at him, and he had an injury or whatever, and his overall playoff career record is pretty good. Yeah, he sucked last year. Fine. I'm willing to take my chances on him versus a guy who we not only don't know, we can't ever know until he does it.
Yeah. Well, so, and all right. But that's why I said I'm shocked it didn't go into camp, where there was a little bit of pressure on him, right?
Right.
Like, when you're going through the field goal routine and all your teammates are watching, then there's people in the crowd watching, and you're going, one guy kicks, the next guy kicks, one guy kicks, the next guy kicks, and you're going through it, and all your teammates are around you, you're watching it, and you're seeing. So, like, I'm shocked it didn't go to that, because no, it's not the same pressure situation as kicking in Lambeau Field when you're hitting a game winner from 50 yards or 45 yards, and maybe there's snow falling or it's raining or it's 15 degrees out. No, it's not the same. Nowhere near the same. Nowhere near the same. But it does put pressure on him, and you see it or at least in the kicking realm of the NFL. That's why the Steelers gave Boswell so much money. The dude kicks inside their stadium unbelievably, and it's tough to kick in that stadium for some reason. They always talk about it. It's tough to kick in. I want to call it Heinz. It's not Heinz anymore, but that's, to me, it's Heinz Field.
Yeah.
But they always say it's difficult to kick in there. What the wind does blowing through that stadium, it's off what, the river or the lake, whatever it is, and it,
right,
it causes issues. So, like, this new kid's going to have to come in and get those things figured out really quick, because all the faith has been put in him.
Yes, then he doesn't know how he's going to do in the cold, because it's not going to be cold there until the end of the year. I will say this. Goody's got more guts than I do. Because to me, the most guts I would have had was to draft him, bring him in, and let's see what happens with the two of them. Let's see what's happened with him, with McManus. And I think that McManus will have a better year kicking this year, wherever he is, than the kid. But I'm just more amazed by the risk given. Am I correct? They think this team this year is going to be pretty good.
Yes, of course they do. Of course they think this team's going to be good. But that's, again, it's why I have to say they've seen something in this kicker, in this young kid early on, that they really like. I don't have an explanation. I don't, because I would have thought it would have got taken to training camp for a competition battle, regardless of if you think you were going to take the kid over McManus to begin with, right? Like, regardless, like, hey, we're going to go with him, but let's see how he does in a competition. If McManus is lights out, then we have to keep him. We already paid him $1 million in a bonus, so we might as well keep him on. But it didn't even go to that. So my only thought is that they love what they see so far, and that is all I can think. That's literally it.
Yeah, well, no, it's all anybody can think, because the actions tell you all you need to know. I don't care what McManus says. I don't want to be there, whatever. So what? You're on this team, and... I mean, I don't think, but yeah, I think it's I just think it's a huge risk, and he's willing to take it. I wouldn't have been willing to take it.
It's definitely a risk. It is definitely a risk, and you don't know how it's going to go until he actually goes out there and starts hitting 50 yarders or whatever it may be. Like, and how about another place that we saw McManus missing, in Soldier Field? The wind was insane there.
Yes.
Like, you had to aim that thing 20 yards out to the right and hope the wind brought it back in.
No, so I don't. And people will say it, and I get it. Yes. Are you taking a risk with McManus? Yes. I'm willing to take that risk. I think he was hurt. I mean, I'm not. I got enough of a resume that's longer than that. With this kid, I got nothing. I got nothing. I have nothing about anything other than that. He was a pretty good kicker in college. So
he's got a very strong leg. That's what we know.
Yes.
That's what we know.
So we'll take it from there. And I don't know if he struggled. I don't know. I just don't see any way they make a change. I don't know how bad he'd have to be historically bad, and I think they'd still give him the benefit of the doubt. 1-800-990-3776. If you have a question for Brian Bulaga, and he's like Gary Ellis, and he'd rather answer your questions or your comments than mine. 1-800-990-3776, the Carbless Talk and Text line. And of course, everything is about YouTube. Whenever or wherever you're listening, we're live on YouTube as well. You can watch the show, see what's happening in the studio, comment along with us. Just search ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube and subscribe today. And when the Brewers have a home game, you will also know whether the Dome is open or closed. Obviously only home games. The afternoon, still a work in progress, but an evening game guaranteed, 5 o'clock. Go to YouTube, the Homer Hour. You will know if the Dome is open or closed. Next.
More of the Homer Hour coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Window Nation, the summer, the hot days will be here soon. Don't wait until then to avoid the high energy bills. Upgrade your home's windows this month during Window Nation's Buy 4, Get 4 free sale. Imagine new energy efficient windows and getting half free. Plus, you could even get no money down, no monthly payments, or interest for 2 years. And you're working with a company that's been doing it well all around the country for years. Family run, and now in our area. And as a proud partner, the Milwaukee Brewers, ask how you can score a pair of Brewer tickets. I'd ask for the ones where Miz is pitching, if you can. Sale ends soon, so visit windownation.com now. The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour. Yes, he loves calls and questions. Sugar-free, you're on with Brian Bulaga.
I have a statement. McManus, there's no way that McManus did not cause some trouble here. He wanted to get himself out of Green Bay ASAP. That's the only way.
So?
Otherwise,
I checked, sugar-free. I don't think he owns the team or is running the team. Brian, am I wrong now? Do players run the team or are there general managers or other people that decide what players?
I mean, If there is truth to that, he's kept it under wraps pretty well that he's disgruntled and not happy. McManus, that is.
Yeah, he's made it clear one thing. He's embarrassed, right? I think he's made that clear.
Yes. But if sugar-free, I mean, listen, your theory could be correct. I don't know. But if it is correct, he's kept that under wraps really well. There's been no, at least from what I remember.
So if that's not the truth, Brian, okay, if that is not the truth, why would the Packers not bring him in and use him to prove something? Why would they jeopardize if this rookie
good
comes in?
Good question, and is not, sugar-free. Can't wait to hear Brian's answer on this. Take it away.
Listen, but this is what we were just talking about. I thought it would at least go to training camp, like sugar-free is stating here. Like, I thought it would go to training camp and be a battle, regardless if you wanted to go with the rookie or not. I thought it would at least go to training camp to become a competition, or at least the illusion of a competition.
Why would you not, if you paid this guy already? I mean, trying to be do the best for the Green Bay Packers. The best would have been to bring the veteran in. Wouldn't have been good for the veteran because he's more than likely going to get cut. But now this gives him more time. So either the Packers were good to McManus to let him go. I mean, it just does not make any sense in that. It's just
no.
Yeah,
it doesn't. No sense.
I'm with you. Listen, that's why Homer and I've been talking about
if McManus gave his $1 million back, then I could see it. But it wouldn't change me. I'm the general manager. I need to have a damn good kicker because I got a damn good football team and I'm not gonna risk it late in the year in the cold weather in Green Bay where it can be tough kicking. I'm not taking any gamble on that, but
this is one topic that I don't have a very good answer for. Like I don't have a straight answer of why they would have done it. Sugar Free brings up a point of
that
what
could,
he
be
it
it.
Could be. He could be 100% correct. And again, I would have no idea because like I'm not trying to refute what he's saying, but there's been nothing in the media that showed that McManus was an issue and he wanted out. So like that's why I don't have
it was bad in the locker room last year, but then that wouldn't explain why they gave him the $1 million.
Correct. I mean, they wouldn't have given him $1 million roster bonus.
So right now, Sugar Free's explanation could be the best.
It could be. Yeah. I mean, it very well could be. I thought if you were still going to go with the rookie, you would still take him to camp and let him duke it out or make it look like they're battling it out, and then you make your move. But I don't have a good explanation. I'm stumped on this one. Maybe someone will ask Goody when he gets up to the podium next, because you could ask LaFleur and he's not gonna give you an answer for it.
I'm wondering. All right, if I'm Goody. I think our actions speak for we believe in the kid. We've done the research, and yes, there's a gamble. We believe in the kid.
That's what he'll say. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. And then
that's
I go.
What he's gonna say.
I go. How? I mean, the difficulties in Lambeau, you can have no idea how he's going to do. No one does. And so you have an unknown going late in the year in a season in which you think the team is very good. Yep.
Yeah.
Nailed that, Homer. Okay. Next question.
Yeah. I mean, and there's really no answer. You can be like, yeah, we'll know he'll be good in the cold late in the year. We know it. It's like, well, no, you don't. There hasn't been any.
Yes, you don't want to go there when you can't defend it. Sugar Free, thanks for the call. John in Milwaukee, you're on with Brian Bulaga. Letter fly.
Gentlemen, thank you for taking my call. I'm the belief that there's 51 other players in that locker room who probably think, you know what, we're moving on in the playoffs if the kicker shows up and does his job. And that would make it enough to go, yep, you're not going to be in the locker room ever again. And I understand they gave him $1 million, but in the NFL, is $1 million really any more than 50 cents to, like, normal people?
Yeah, when you don't have to do it. Am I missing something? They didn't have to do it, right?
I don't know the contract details. I don't know the exacts of the details.
We'll ask Jason when he comes on Thursday with.
At the time that they did it, they didn't know that they were going to get the rookie, though, too.
Yeah, but they...
Correct? Yeah,
I think they'd have a pretty good idea of the possibility. They gave up two draft choices. So we're going to do $1 million, but not if we can get a guy who was available at the end of the draft. I mean, yes, this is another good answer. John might have it as well.
Well, he certainly...
The rookie's film... He was sitting from 60 yards out.
Hell yeah. I mean, he's got a strong leg. There's no doubt. And listen, like, it's you're 100% correct that when a kicker has a performance like that in a game like that, right, it's tough to go back in the locker room. And, guys, naturally, regardless veteran or not, yeah, there's going to be some trust loss when that is your single job is – to put the ball through the uprights, there's definitely going to be some trust issues for sure. Like there's no doubt about that. And whether or not that's the impact of like to cut him and still give him the $1 million, I don't know, but I don't know the specifics of the
that might have been contract. In the contract, and they did save more money by not having him.
Yeah, that could have been that. Again, we'd have to ask Jason the specifics on the contract. But listen, everyone's guess is as good as mine right now. Like, I don't know. I mean, trust in the locker room. But at the same time, that'd be for the GM to go, like, you guys need to figure it out. And it's up to him to prove it, to earn the trust back and things like that. And maybe they thought it was.
Look at, if you were on the team, Brian, you'd have the same thoughts you have now.
Yeah. Unless you're one of the players that knows, or a coach told you, or the special teams coach told you, or whatever it may be. Yeah, I'd ask the same question. I'm like, so listen, I'm not saying that the young kid can't be good or he won't be great. I have no idea. But, like, do we know for a fact that we haven't even got the they haven't even put pads on the kicking pads yet? And I mean, and we don't know, and we're going to take the gamble on that. And yeah, I'd have a couple questions. It's not like I'm going to be in there all PO'd about it and be mad. Like, I can't do that. Like, there's nothing that's changing.
They do. They believe in the kid.
That's yes.
Their actions tell you all you need to know.
Yeah.
1-800-990-3776. And again, YouTube, we got some questions. Brian, what are some things to pay attention to at the Packers training camp if I go to watch? I don't think you want to watch the walkthroughs. I'm not sure. We'll get to Brian Bulaga's answer for that next.
The Homer Hour is back after this on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour. Tune into the new season of the Behind the Bucks podcast on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker, HR and benefits consultant. Bucks versus the World, narrated by comedian Charlie Behrens, reveals the untold story of the 87 McDonald's Open when the Bucks became the first NBA team to take on the best national team in the world, the Soviet Union. Believe the Bucks led at one time by 48 points. I need to double check on that. They won by about, like, I think what the Knicks won over the 76ers in game 4. Before the Dream Team, this long-forgotten tournament in Milwaukee globalized the game of basketball and opened the doors to international stars coming to the NBA. Yeah, and probably convinced the Soviet Union, we got to get better. Bucks beat the crap out of us. Find Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, the new ESPN Wisconsin app, and wherever you get your podcasts. Behind the Bucks is presented by Gallagher. And now, the question for Brian Bulaga, which is a great question if anybody's going to training camp. What should they watch? What can they watch? What should they not watch? Take it away, Doc.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, the walkthroughs are not, I mean, you're not going to get anything out of watching that. I think what's, I mean, this may bore people, but it's actually really good to see is the individual work, how guys look in individual drills when that part of practice is going on, and how they look doing football drills with just their position group. Are they smooth? Do they look a little out of place? How are their feet? Can they catch the football? Like, all those little things, like, those are individual drills, is where we work to try to perfect our craft. So, like, guys take that seriously. I took that very seriously. You want good reps. To feel confident then to go into team drills. And I think a lot of people get very excited about 1v1s, whether that's the DBs, whether that's the linebackers versus the running backs, that's O-line, D-line. Yeah, they're fun to watch. They're very entertaining.
Are they legit?
No. I mean, it's not real life football situations. For all those groupings, right? The linebackers and running backs, the D linemen, O linemen, corners, or just DBs and generals and receivers, there's so much space for the receivers to work. There's so much space for the linebackers to work. There's so much space for the D linemen to work. Kind of uninterrupted. There's no other movement happening around them. They're not keying anything else. It's not like they're going to do a run play against the DBs and the DBs have to come up and support the run, vice versa for the D linemen, like, and for the linebackers rushing the running backs. They're not checking play action. They're just running full speed ahead at the running backs to beat them in pass pro. So it's a little unrealistic. Obviously, it stresses out. You know, it stresses out the cornerbacks. It stresses out the running backs. It stresses out the offensive linemen. It puts stress on those guys, and you get to see how they perform in those situations. But it's just not realistic, really. But I think if you're watching young guys do it, young first, second-year players, how do they perform in those scenarios? I think it's good to see that.
I want to see one-on-ones. Do I actually get a chance to do that? I want one-on-ones. Does that even exist?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that happens. Yeah, almost every practice. But the thing that I think is the most important is the team drills. Find who you want to see. Find who you want to watch. And watch them in the team 11v11 drills. Because football is being played. They have to make real-time decisions. When all 10 other guys are on the field, whether that you're looking at a corner, whether you're looking at a lineman, whether you're looking at a linebacker or safety, see them in 11v11 drills and see what they do. See how they operate. See if they're, you know, how they're reacting to every situation. And to me, that's where you find the most information out about players.
How they fit in.
Yeah, because I think when people go to training camp practices and they watch, I think they may go in with that goal, but then they end up watching Aaron Rodgers throw the ball 60 yards down the field and they track the ball, or they see Jordan Love, you know, roll out of the pocket and make some crazy throw and they just end up watching the ball. Where if you want to see a player that you're really interested in, watch him through the entire duration. Block out everything else. Don't even look at anything else. Watch your player and what he's doing. And you can get a really good read about how his practice is going. If you watch a guy for 8 straight reps, he's having a good day. He's having a bad day. He's struggling against this. He's struggling against that. He's making no impact. He's nowhere near the ball. Like, he's a linebacker and his run fits are terrible. What is he doing? Like, those are all things you can learn in the 11v11 drill.
That's why I need to be there with Brian Bulaga. I want Brian Bulaga next to me to help me out with these tips.
Yeah. And honestly,
do you ever go? You
know, no. I mean, and honestly,
that was a great
We get, you know, players, obviously, like, we watch some fundamental tape and we'll watch the one-on-one tape, but you get graded based off of your team drill tape. Like, you're getting graded based off when you're going against your own teammates in training camp. That's if there's a position battle, it's getting decided right there. Sure, the coaches look at maybe a 1v1 clip, like, oh, this looks good. But that's like a one-off rep or maybe a two-off rep. They're looking at the body of work of how the 11v11 drills are going. How are you doing in that stretch? Like, realistic drives, like an 8-play drive or no huddle or a 2-minute situation. Like, that's what they're looking at. Like, that's how you're being graded. That's the film you're watching in meetings after practice. When you're wasting time at the end of a meeting, if you got an extra 10 minutes, then you turn on the one-on-ones and you turn on some individual tape and you go through that, like, hey, this looks like crap, or that looks good, or your hands outside here, or your first two sets or your first two kicks out of your pass set are a little bit sloppy here, clean this up. And that's what it is. You're getting graded based off the tape. How about, are you assignment sound? Are you fundamental sound? Are you winning your block? Are you winning the rep? Like, that's what you get graded off. So if you're a fan and you're going to watch, you want to watch what the guys are being graded off
right.
of.
And that is do you pretty much know, or right in the first couple of years, like, you have to go to those meetings, but how much do you, 90%, you pretty much know what they're going to say or what happened, or do things happen where you didn't anticipate that, or you wouldn't do it, but maybe Bachter said, you're just wrong. Hey, I didn't find that. What are you talking about? I don't know if anybody stands up to a coach like that. Maybe when you get to be a vet, I'd love that stuff.
Oh, there's always plays and things that happen that are up for debate every practice. There's always debatable things, like, you thought a coach might have thought you could have done this a little bit better, and you're like, wait, what are you talking? Like, what do you mean? Like, what do you?
That's
like, what
do
you
want
me to?
When they do that, when they do those, you know, they do the show where you're in training camp.
Yeah,
that's what I want.
If they ever put a camera in the Packers O-line room when Campy was there, even when Steno was there my first year, it would have been gold. They would have been, we would have got, we would have been what, Oscar nominated. It would have been comedy. I mean, it would have been clips and gifs forever. It would have been all over everything. And like, but like, it's different in every room, obviously. But when you had a room with veteran guys in it that understood their job, understood the offense in and out and the assignments. And
so they think the majority of this is just a waste of time. Like, they know what to do. The coaches know they know what to do. You kind of have to go through it, and that's a part of the – and yeah. Whatever practice they need to get ready.
It's putting guys back through the stressors of football again, right? Like, and that's what it is. It's going back through
the body.
Obviously. Yeah, obviously every guy – and it's not true for everyone, but like, guys, and this is, I felt like this every training camp too, especially as I, you know, you get past year five, you're just not proving it to the coaches and the general manager and things like that, but you're proving it to yourself. I can still do this. Like, you're going back out there and you're like, I can still play at a high level. So it's that part of training camp, the first 2 weeks, that you're going back out there and you got to prove it to them that.
And how much of that is health? How much of that is your body and seeing if it's the same?
A lot of it. I think there's, depending on how you go into each training camp and how you feel, and you're a year older. Did you do the right things in the off season? Did you prepare yourself? Hey, I can still play at a high level. Like, they brought in a first round DN. I'm still doing just fine. And he's 21. I'm 27. I'm doing just fine. I can still do this. And like that's, it's part of that process too. So it's guys going through those first few weeks of camp, seeing that on tape, evaluating themselves, and the coaches evaluating that and going through that process. And there's always too, they bring in young.
But I'm thinking, you were the young guy once and you're a rookie and you're probably thinking, learning that, but I got some time. They got all these guys. I got some time. And the next thing you know,
kids
hurt, and hey, kid, let's go.
I did think that, because I'm going through training camp, and I took some reps with the ones at guard, but not at. And I was, like I've said before, I was not a good guard, but like, I thought from a tackle standpoint, like, I'm probably going to be watching for at a minimum a year. It depends on what happens contractually with these two guys, like Cliff and Tausch.
And they might try to make you have to fill in. You'd probably,
yeah.
I guess, like, if I'm you, I'm thinking I'm trying to learn about every position.
I mean, I didn't really want to learn too much about guard. I'll put it that way.
Did you tell him that?
I mean, I told Campy early on, like, I'm like, dude, I you want me to go do it? I'll do it.
Say to you? Kid, listen, we might need you there or not. I don't know what he says.
He probably looked at me like, shut up and just go do what I'm asking you to do. And that's essentially what I did. But I'd be like, listen, man, like, I'm doing the best I can. I'm trying to figure this, like, because I was taking so many reps off of Cliffy at left tackle during camp, because he didn't do much of camp. I mean, why would he? He was in his, like, I think 11th or 12th. I don't know what year he was in. So I was taking so many reps off a Cliff that when I got thrown in at guard, it was like, I mean, it is. It's a culture shock and what you're supposed to do and how fast things happen in there.
I just think guard is easier than tackle. All right, I want you to answer that when we come back, because clearly I can be wrong, or I have to be wrong. Otherwise, you would have said, well, I know it's easier. Milwaukee weight loss started at 229 and at 205, and I can just – it works. I eat less, and I'm happy eating less, and I feel like I can do this the rest of my life. I think I could go down to 200, but I don't know if I need to. But again, there's nothing, no counting calories. The program is different. No intense workouts, no prepackaged meals. They figured it out. Many have found success. Many have lost more weight than I have. And you just eat less, and you can find different ways than I have, but it works. And it works because I'm confident. I look forward to telling you in a month, in 2 months, in 6 months. Yep, just what I told you. I eat less, and I'm happy eating less, and my weight is down. Milwaukee weight loss, 205 down to 200. Whenever you want, 262. How can I be that confident? Well, learn about it, and I think you will be as well. MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com, MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. people can lose way more. I could. And I'd like to. I don't know. I don't know that I want to weigh 180 pounds. I probably could get down that low if I wanted to. 262-235-3980. I'm happy with 25 to 29. MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. Next.
More of the Homer Hour coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour. And now, proving that I'm wrong, I have always believed that tackle is tougher than guard. Now, to set the record straight, Brian Bulaga.
So, listen, I think playing guard is tough. I tried to do it my rookie year, and it was difficult. But I think overall, I think tackle
What's
is
difficult
more...
about it? You can do everything. You're strong, and you can move. I just think if you can play tackle, then of course you can play guard. It's easier. You don't have to do as much. Set me straight.
No, there's certainly body types and frames that can handle guard better than others. You have to be built for it, right? Like there's prototypical guards and tackles for a reason, because it's what fits the mold of All what right. the position demands. Things happen inside a lot quicker. So twists, pressures, like contact in the run game, all that stuff happens so quick. In a tackle, you're kind of out there on your own, and you have a little more time to evaluate, so to speak. Now, the downside of that for the tackle position is you're going against absolute freak show fast athletes that weigh 265, 270 pounds and are stronger than you are, most likely, or just as strong, and things like that. And they essentially have two-way goes all the time. They can go inside and go outside. They can go through. Yeah, they can do a lot of different things. So each position presents its own set of issues. I just always thought playing tackle was, because you're so isolated in one-on-ones all the time, and there's so much space for the defensive end to operate in, it was tougher to do. Because at guard, you're next to your center. The D tackles can't loop all the way out to the tackle unless they're doing a stunt, because that'll be a really long route for the defensive tackle to go. The guard will win that battle every time. So it's just a little bit more of a isolated game at tackle that made it more difficult. Now, there's always your outliers, right? Like when you go against Aaron Donald, that's a problem. That's a big issue.
Yeah.
That's going to be a very bad day for any guard, because he plays like a DN, he moves like a DN, but he's a defensive tackle and he's as strong as anybody. And yeah, that's a problem. It's a tough day. There's no doubt. That sucks.
I'm just thinking more like the average person. So
yeah, you don't get Aaron Donald every day. You don't get Aaron Donald every day.
All right, so what I'll hold on to is, while I'm wrong, I think a tackle has a better chance of being playing guard than a guard has at playing tackle. Will you join that, or are you going to disagree with that too?
No, I'll join that, but it doesn't mean he's going to be successful.
It's a bad position. I'll just scratch it. I've seen all the discussion about Caleb Williams versus Jordan Love. And I say, yeah, I think there are plays where Caleb or a game that he could be better, but I think game in and game out, I'm going to take Jordan Love. Now somebody said Ben Johnson versus Matt LaFleur. And my position on both is they're legitimate debates. I don't think it's crazy. So
I'll still take LaFleur over Ben Johnson. And I'll take Love over Caleb Williams.
So, but if someone doesn't, I don't think they're nuts.
No, they're not nuts. I mean,
take Don Morton over LaFleur, yes. If you take, let's see, who was the guy who played quarterback for the Packers last year in the game against the Vikings?
Oh gosh, I don't.
You
I don't
pick
remember.
Him over Caleb Williams? Yeah, name that tune. So, and these are debates that are going to exist year after year, and that's because the Bears have just gotten better, just the same way with the discussion about the Lions. The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour, our Discount Liquor Twitter poll question. Who's going to have a better year kicking, McManus or the kid? I call him the kid because that's what he is. And that's because I think McManus will be kicking for another team this year.
Yes,
he will. If he doesn't, then I'll lose. What do we have next? The ESPN National in progress? Yeah. ESPN National, 10 minutes in progress. We're not there yet. But if necessary, we'll do it. The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour deserves more than 46 minutes. Next.